was a long and dark December. From the rooftops I remember there was snow, white snow.
Welcome to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. Today's program is all about Russ Tice. Russ Tice is an NSA whistleblower who goes on the record with revelations and names of official culprits involved in the NSA's illegal practices. Mr. Tice explains in detail how the National Security Agency targets, sucks in, stores, and analyzes illegally obtained content from the masses in the United States. Russ contradicts officials and the mainstream media on the status of NSA's Utah facility, which is already operating and online. Russ reveals that the NSA has a deep state that targets and wiretaps U.S. political candidates for its own purposes. Russ discusses the controversies involving the NSA, PRISM, Edward Snowden, and the spins and lies that are being floated by the U.S. media.
NSA's illegal domestic wiretapping, FBI's national security letters, state secrets privilege, TSA's 1 million-plus no-fly list, persecution of government whistleblowers, perpetual wars, rendition and torture. Can you feel the water boiling?
Welcome to The Boiling Frogs. With Sibel Edmonds, I'm Peter B. Collins. And that water is getting hotter all the time. With the very provocative leaks that are coming from Edward Snowden via Glenn Greenwald and the Guardian newspaper in London, we've learned quite a bit, and we've had quite a bit of confirmation in the recent past here. We're going to push the envelope here today as Russell D. Tice returns to the Boiling Frogs podcast. Russ is a former intelligence analyst for the Air Force, Office of Naval Intelligence, Defense Intelligence Agency, and his last stop was at the NSA, and he departed there at the end of, actually in May of 2005, And he was later identified as one of the key sources for the New York Times articles that were delayed, originally available for publication as early as 2004, but not published until 2005, well after the second term started for Bush and Cheney. Russ Tice, welcome back to the Boiling Frogs.
Thanks for having me back.
The last week or so, we have seen amazing confirmation and validation of revelations and charges that you have been making since 2005. Tell us, first of all, how it feels as a whistleblower to have a little bit of company and to see the affirmation, the validation of so much of what you have been telling and trying to tell the American people.
Well, I think logically it feels pretty good. There for a long time, I was the lone wolf in the wilderness, crying in the cold. And for doing so, of course, I was swift boated and called crazy and a liar and everything else. So now, everything is what they say, murder will out. So it's all outing right now. And I'm quite happy that some of my colleagues have come forward and hopefully more will come forward with the crimes that have been committed against the American people. So I'm just ecstatic that this is happening.
I've heard all kinds of extreme labels applied to Ed Snowden and the actions that he chose to take. And I reject hero, and I also reject the word treason or turncoat. How do you characterize what he did?
Well, I don't know enough about his motives or his, first of all, I don't think I would have chosen Hong Kong to go to. If he'd asked me, I'd have pointed him in another direction, or actually I would have told him that, how to do this thing a different way. But he's brought forward information that the American people need to know, and he's given confirmation, in writing, in documents. Now, for him doing so, they are going to try to hang him, and I think, he knew that. So he knew, he had to get out of Dodge, so... I would have encouraged him to try to get out those documents without identifying himself, but he made the statement, so he's put himself on the line, and the what we should be talking about is the information he's put out there.
Mm-hmm. We've seen James Clapper exposed as a perjurist, a liar under oath. General Keith Alexander, the head of the NSA and the cyber warfare department at the Pentagon, he is now caught in statements that don't square with these recent revelations. And we're told that this is the tip of the iceberg, Russ. How much is underwater in that iceberg? You know.
Well, these guys are incessant and habitual liars. Why the press keeps bringing them forward and saying, well, what is going on now? And then they are hinging on their every word as if now they're telling the truth. Well, what they're doing is they're falling back to their next line of defense as if they were defending, a liar's fortress. Whatever the next line of defense is where they can try to mitigate those lies and fall back to something else. And then, of course, that defense gets destroyed. They fall back to the next line of defense. That's what's happening with these guys. They should have no credibility whatsoever, yet I keep seeing their faces on all these shows and what have you, and the press hanging on their every word as if it was the tablets that have come down from Mount Ararat or whatever Moses came down from words from God or something. So I'm just baffled as to why someone doesn't say to these guys, you're a liar, a proven liar, why should we believe anything you say? But no one will say that. Anyhow,
Let's focus on the lies here for just a moment, because Congress went into overdrive when Roger Clemens, the former Red Sox pitcher, lied about whether he had used performance-enhancing drugs or not. And here we have clear evidence that James Clapper lied, and he's been allowed to backpedal and to say that it was the, least untruthful thing that he could think of at the moment. I mean, come on, this is just incredible. And the corporate media and members of both parties are sitting still. I haven't heard anyone say, perjury, let's investigate, let's get him up here. Instead, they all sat for a closed-door hearing for what, for many members of Congress, was the first briefing on PRISM, on the data mining of telephone records, and presumably other operations of the NSA, because members have acknowledged that it was much bigger than they thought, much more obtrusive than they thought. And now we have confirmation of Snowden's claim that he and other people with similar clearances can access any communication anywhere in the world, anytime.
Yes. Well. First of all, what you saw there, and I think Ms. Feinstein from your fine state of California has come out and acknowledged this, was just a 3-month renewal of just one company that's involved in these things that are continuing. Now, what's not coming out, and no one seems in the press, in the mainstream press, to want to ask this question: Is NSA collecting the content of phone calls and emails and Skype sessions and all these other communications and storing them in mass? And I saw a little over a month ago, I was watching CNN, and there was a fellow Marylander gal, Erin Burnett, mm-hmm. who was on, and she had FBI guy on there,
right.
Tim Clemente, I think his name was, and he came out and said that the FBI has the ability to go back in time and look at the content of communications, and this via an intelligence agency that deals with national security. Well, you know, that initially had my little red flag go up, because back in the day when I talked to Keith Overman, NSA did not have that capability, not because they didn't want it, but because they didn't have the processing capability. They didn't have literally the electrons, the power infrastructure at Fort Meade to run that sort of thing, and they didn't have the storage capability to store all that information. Because imagine this conversation we're having now, and all the other conversations around this, domestically in this country, there was a lot of talking going on. So that's why they were being judicious about that and going after all the metadata, which is what we know from Snowden's initial release.
Mm-hmm.
But so I contacted, and this was over a month ago, I contacted one of my main sources at NSA, and we had a meeting. And then we had to, you know, he wasn't quite sure whether it was everything then, so he had to do some investigating. And we discussed a bunch of other things. But anyhow, I just got the confirmation this past Saturday that, yes, it is everything. NSA is copying every domestic communication in this country, word for word, content in every phone conversation like the one we're having now, every email, everything. They are collecting everything in bulk, and they are putting it in databases. And ultimately, that facility out there in Utah is already online. And they haven't even said that, but they're putting stuff there now, even though they're supposedly not going to open that thing up until later on this fall. That thing is sort of like the Death Star, where it's Star Wars. They said that it was only halfway done or whatever, but they had the capability to blow up another Alderaan or something. But that Death Star in Utah is already starting to function to store every communication in this country, word for word, content.
Hi, I'm Steve Lerman. I'm the guy that produces, edits, narrates, and promotes Great Speeches and Interviews. I'm the guy responsible for airing in-depth interviews, speeches, and even debates on controversial subjects such as war and peace and climate change and the economy. I hope you like listening to it as much as I like producing it. Access Sacramento broadcasts it on the internet every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m., and you can find the podcast at greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com, as well as at Facebook.
And Russ, just two quick points. Mark Klein, the AT&T whistleblower who exposed the secret NSA room at the Folsom Street facility in San Francisco, he alleged that everything was being diverted. We didn't know if it was being recorded. We didn't know exactly where it went from there. The other factoid is that there is a $6 billion upgrade to Fort Meade. I believe it's called Project M or Building M. And this is described as almost a half million square foot building with only 60 people working in it.
Yeah, that's processing capability. That's what's going on in that building. That's processing capability. More processing. So remember, the key was processing power, and they've upgraded the power that goes into Fort Meade. There for a long time, there for 3 or 4 years, well, about 3 years, they cut back on everything else just to pump all that power into those computers, and people at the agency were freezing their butts off in the wintertime, and they were boiling in summertime because they were cutting back on the heating and the air conditioning to pump pump more power into those systems because they didn't have the electricity. Now they've upgraded the electricity that's going into to NSA via, I assume, BG&E, and which is the Baltimore Gas and Electric, which is the local power source for this area. Plus, they have their own stations there in case something goes down, and processing and storage. So you know, I think I told Keith Overman way back when, because he asked me offline. He said, you know, Russ, when do you think we'd have that capability to do it all? And I said, probably about 2015. I guessed back then. Well, you know, I was wrong. It's right now. It's here today. So
Russ, open-ended question here. Take, for example, the PRISM program. What we have seen is four slides from a 41-slide PowerPoint presentation. And the Guardian newspaper, the Washington Post, have both said that they've reviewed the entire PowerPoint presentation and that they're declining to release the rest of it. What would it show us if we saw all 41 slides?
You know what I think? I think it would start to show what some of the target groups are for that information. And that's something that I've known about. I was involved in personally with what I called the very technical angle, and then my colleagues that I got in touch with, and we sort of compared notes, were involved in the terrestrial side. I have a feeling they're going to go over target sets, and that's what they're hiding.
Mm-hmm. And what is your characterization of the decision by the editors to withhold this information? Because it appears that Ed Snowden was very clear that he, you know, is taking this risk, and the deal that he tried to make with these outlets was that, you know, in exchange for giving them some of it, that they would agree to run everything that he suggested they run, and they're already putting limits on that exposure.
You know, I'll bet you dollars to donuts that Snowden went to the Washington Post first, and they pulled a New York Times deal, you know, where they've decided they're going to, you know, and ultimately what happens is, behind the back of the source, they go and they contact the administration and say, we have this information. Now, here's something else I know about NSA. NSA started this witch hunt for Snowden before the information came out, which tells me, and this was several days before the information came out, that tells me that somebody, the Washington Post, and I think it was the Washington Post, went to the administration and said, we have this kind of information, and then the agency went apoplectic to find out what was going on and where the source came from before it hit the press. Now, I assume, and this is conjecture on my part, that Mr. Snowden got ticked off at the Post, and then decided to go with the Guardian. But it would fall right in line with what happened at the Los Angeles Times with the Klein case, and what happened with stuff that I was involved with the New York Times back in 2004-2005 timeframe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen this where a whistleblower approaches on a confidential basis, and then the media outlet goes to the very agency or oversight committee. In the case of Mark Klein, he went to the L.A. Times. They turned his materials over to Senator Feinstein, who was then the ranking member of the Intelligence Committee, now the chair. And she then turned it over to the government. And so the protection for Mark Klein was there because he didn't have a security clearance. And so they couldn't retaliate against him the way they did to you, Russ.
That's correct. And he'd already retired. He made sure that he retired before he put the information out. So he kind of put himself out of the gunshots, because otherwise the company he worked for would have retaliated against him and probably taken his pension from him. But
Now, Russ, let me ask you point blank about the other two programs that have been more greatly exposed by Ed Snowden. And one is the order of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which extended the order to Verizon to continue to supply on a daily basis all the telephone records of its customers. Is there more to this? We certainly presume that all the other phone companies are under similar orders, and your former colleague Bill Binney was speculating in a USA Today interview that the docket number that shows up on the FISA order, which is 13-80, 13 referring to the year, and presumably 80, means that this is the 80th order order of this type or in this docket, we can't be sure, but we can certainly speculate relatively intelligently about it. What else is there in the data mining of phone records?
Well, remember the last interview we had where I talked about how they went after Jim Rising and what they were using. What they do is they use the metadata, and they're using the metadata in conjunction with the content. One, they have to index the content, and this nonsense that they don't have names associated with this is just stupidity, because they do, and it's easy to get the name of information once you have it, especially once you have the phone number. The reason they have to have the metadata is so when they target someone and they go after their communication, say I'm targeting you and I go back to what you said 4 years ago up till now, and then I decide I'm going to use something that against you that you contacted, say Sabelle, and then I'm going to say, well, you told her this because she reported that or whatever, or some other source, and I'm going to take you to court like they did to Jim Rising. And I'm going to throw that in your face like they did to Jim Rising with the metadata, okay? But they certainly aren't going to give a grand jury the information word for word that they've had, that they've been listening to. They need the metadata to throw in your face when you go up against that grand jury and ultimately when you're tried. And that's why that's the separate chunk of this thing. And that's what you're saying. That's why they go to the joke of the FISA court, which is, you know, the kangaroo court with the rubber stamp to go after that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a flag in every window, in every car, in every store, and they're all reminding me it's a new, new, new war, war, war. The president says I'm even helping out if I shop and do some chores, but I don't want to help in any way. In the new, new, new war, war, war. Keep an eye on strangers, the strangers keep an eye on you. Paranoia. That's not new, 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 new. My plastic razor is a weapon. My mailbox is full of spores. They're calling that a normal life. In the new, new, new war, 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 we make progress day by day. And tonight we blow up the Red Cross store once more, make a few mistakes, kill a few Canadians, getting even in our new, new, new war, war, war. Smoking civilians, apologizing over bodies so cold. That's another thing that's gotten kind of old, but the whole world is united like never before. Still, we're gonna call it America's new, new, new war, war, war. 'Cause if they call it what it really is, say go screw. You call it a world war, well, and that would be so. There's a foreign accent, the cops kick in the door, it's all for your security. In the new, new, new war, war, war. hero of the firemen. Then have the cops bust them just like whores. Smell the pleasant atmosphere in the new war, war, war. We blew up a mountain. And we're gonna catch him like a coin in a fountain, bragging about what we're gonna do. That's not new. Now they're taking off our shoes, like they've done time and time before, looking everywhere for drugs, terror. President says volunteer, a command I can't ignore. I'm volunteering my utmost resistance to the new war, war, war. Society decaying while the ordinance sucks up all the gold. That's another thing that's gotten kind of old. But the whole world is united like never before. Still, we're gonna call it America's war. 'Cause if we call it what it really is, you would all go say screw. Call it a new world war. Well, and that wouldn't be right.
New. And now for something completely different.